seeing.
It kind of turned into like a Michael Vick movie for a little bit. Like, I got tired of seeing animals die over and over and over again and fight each other. I like
and
people dying.
A trail of corpses.
Yeah, I'd rather the people die than the dinosaurs. And even when like the pterodactyl came and picked up that baby triceratops, I was like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
But it didn't get off with it.
I know, but I felt bad. And how horrifying, I swear to God, the part where the birds were kind of pushing the one girl, the assistant, into the water, I feel like that was
horrible.
That was like a direct stab at like fucking Blackfish, not Blackfish, but SeaWorld. Like how they just, they fucking just torture their victim before they kill him.
Yeah.
And they don't want to be there kind of thing. I was totally thinking of that poor trainer that got pulled in by her ponytail and just annihilated.
I'm like, why'd the English lady have to die?
I know. And she was terrified. Like, it wasn't just a normal getting bit. It was keeping her underwater and drowning her and pecking her and all kinds of horrible stuff.
Yeah, it was really horrible.
Once you realize you're in that thing, that pen, how terrified must you have been?
Yeah, that was bad. And I was like, are we really not going to get a T-Rex in this fucking movie?
Yeah. And then you finally got a shot.
And then, how many times did you say, "You're my boy, Blue," or "Blue, you're my boy"? Oh my God, I must have yelled that in my head 100 times.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes!
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
I am Jurassic-tastic.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
You're killing me, Dave. Randy.
I can't follow that. I'm fantastic, though.
Son of a bitch. That's like 3 podcasts in a row where you have stopped Randy from having a fun intro.
I think we need to change the order.
It's becoming a thing.
I know. And now, like,
well, how are you?
When you start, I go, hi. I like, totally ruin yours, too.
Cock-blocked it.
I'm well. You know, we didn't have a show last week. I feel bad about that.
Bad.
Sorry, all of you.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. Stupid Windows. I feel bad. But we are back now. And, you know, because we missed last week, there was a lot of horrible shit that happened in Game of Thrones that we didn't get to discuss, particularly burning little girls alive. That's horrible. We'll get into that in a second, but not dwell too much on it because the finale was even better. First things first, E3 is this week, and I know we don't talk about video games too much on this podcast anymore because we have the Pixelated Podcast, which is like an award-winning podcast. My mom wrote us a certificate of awesomeness, so we are winners. But anyway, it's a big deal. It's in LA, and we wrote up a billion stories today, and there's a lot of fun stuff going on. Xbox One's getting some backwards compatibility with Xbox 360 games. That's a huge win. Freaking Sony is finally going to release The Last Guardian, which has been a running joke since 2009. Keep in mind the game's been being developed since 2007. But either way, we got a whole new trailer. It looks amazing. And I still don't see how it'll ever live up to the hype, but whatever. I think it's worth giving it a try. And then, David, you just blew your load all over your freaking computer and your keyboard. And it's horrible, and that's because Final Fantasy VII is finally being remade. In HD. You get to see Cloud's big-ass sword just annihilate.
Oh, my God. So excited. I would be excited for backwards compatibility on my Xbox One if I hadn't sold all of my 360 games.
Right. I did the same thing. Sold them
every
all.
One of them. I'm like, well, I'm never going to play my 360 again. I can get rid of these.
Right. And you just sold it, too, like last week.
Yeah, it was pretty recently.
Idiot.
Gotta get that shit back.
Yeah, just...
What a dumb.
Yeah. Just be racist for a second and say, hey, I'm gonna Indian give.
I was really gonna say that, and I was like, I can't say that out loud.
I am 1/16th Cherokee Indian, you know. So
it's not racist.
Yeah, so no it's racist.
1/8th racist. Or 1/8th not racist.
I had to pay for my smoker.
There you go. It'll be okay. They're all shit games anyway. Who wants to go backwards? It's all about forwards. Yeah, there's that one game. Right? Honestly.
No, forward games don't all work.
Yeah, when you play a board game, it's always a penalty to go backwards. Why is a video game a good thing to go backwards? It's not. It's
Halo
terrible.
My Halo Reach plays better than my Halo Master Chief collection.
Yeah.
Just because you played it all right. I mean, just because you saw a movie once doesn't mean you don't want to see it
again.
Yeah.
It's
am
done.
I right?
Yeah, throw it in the fire. We're done with it.
He burns the negative.
Although I do have, I keep all my old games. Minus my 360, I have all my other stuff. But like a game like Red Dead Redemption, for example, that's one of my favorites from last console gen, and I would love to be able to pop that in and play whenever I want. But instead, I got to go hook up my PS3, and it's a process, and you know, it tends to not be worth it after a while.
Yeah, I sold my 360 and all my games and my Kinect and stuff. So.
Yeah.
It's the only one I ever did. I never sold any of my other consoles or anything like that. For whatever reason, I was like, eh, I can sell this.
There you go.
I get some money for it.
So, Stephen Janes, SK Janes, Y2K15, he is on the floor all this week at E3. So, he'll be shooting some fun photos, having some fun interviews. I got him locked into some really cool shit, including the new Disney Infinity, the Star Wars shit. He's going to have his own little personal demo.
That's
so
fun.
Yeah, he'll be able to relay all that stuff to you.
Screw Disney Infinity, that game sucks.
Well, I know, but you like the Star Wars.
I love the Star Wars. I just don't understand why I can't play with any character in any level.
You can in three. In Star Wars you'll be able to cross all the trilogies together. You can play the new shit with Episode 1 stuff if you want to. It doesn't
but
matter.
Can I play my
like Donald
Disney
Duck
or Marvel
no
in Star Wars?
Don't be an idiot, Dave.
That's stupid.
They don't belong.
Like, oh my god. They're so dumb. Screw Disney Infinity with a big Hulk fist.
You know, okay, you know what else doesn't belong? And I apologize if I'm screwing up your flow by bringing up this other game that's being discussed at E3 this week. Battlefront. Did you guys watch the gameplay footage?
Oh my god,
yeah.
So good.
Okay.
Except
the only thing
Luke
I didn't like, yeah, the only thing yeah. I liked was at the very end when Jedi Luke from Return of the Jedi comes out and confronts Vader on Hoth.
Uh-huh.
That's just wrong.
When's the last time you saw Empire? That's like happened.
Yeah.
Everything else is fucking amazing about that game. It looks so goddamn good.
I like how the trailer like went back and forth from like different perspectives and like showed each fight from like both sides.
Yeah, totally. Like one of the soldiers looks up and watches a TIE fighter passing by. Next thing you know, you're in a TIE fighter cockpit strafing the battleground and shit. But yeah, it just looks so cool just seeing every aspect of the game that you can play. From the vehicles to the personnel, the Rebels, Imperials, you can be everything.
I think Vader should wear a white outfit when he goes to Hoth.
Yeah, like the Infinities Vader?
Yeah, that'd be cooler.
That would be pretty damn cool.
He would look like my sweet-ass white Xbox One that I have. That I keep telling everybody because I love it so much. And it helps justify the purchase.
of having two Xbox Ones.
Yeah. What can you do? It was neat.
Still the black one.
No way. Do you want it? Hey, Randy, you want an Xbox One?
Yes.
$500.
No.
USD.
S my D.
But it's a day one
good
edition.
One, Randy.
I would love one, but
what if
will
you give me $500?
I think you already gave me your answer.
No, but I mean, if I SSD for five, he won't do it for $500.
No, probably not. Just because
really?
that would make things weird between us.
I will pay your $500, Randy. I want to see this happen.
I'll do it. Why not? We're all friends.
All right.
For $500, I'll do it.
Yeah. You can
periscope it.
Going on at Comic-Con.
Get a couple drinks in you.
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
Why not?
When in Rome.
Yeah. Hashtag loft party.
YOLO.
What? I don't get it.
We're staying in a loft this year right at the gas lamp, so we don't have to shuttle for 45 minutes getting to and from our hotel.
He's going to have to, like, sleep
like
three deep.
Hmm.
Going to have like, four people on the bed.
Huh?
Diagonal.
Yeah, sideways.
Anyway, so, speaking of crazy, how about this Jurassic World making $1 billion, Dave?
Radical. So good. Yeah, it made $208.4 million in U.S., 500 and something million worldwide, both new records. No film has ever crossed the $500 million worldwide mark. What's really interesting about that is Universal had originally pegged their estimates for domestic at 75 to 100 million. So they were really...
knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, they, based on their estimates, they're either really bad at predicting box office, or
which doesn't get like increase one's confidence.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anyone saw two. I mean, we had talked
in their business acumen.
Yeah, we thought that it was a possibility of like a 120 type thing, but I mean, I was shocked to see $208 million, and
yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Well,
people
love dinosaurs.
Yeah, and this movie gave them dinosaurs galore, which is one of the reasons I gave it a good review, was that it had so many dinosaurs. Like, every frame had a dinosaur, and I like dinosaurs. And I know that Justin was a little sad at the end when they started murdering each other, but, like, that third act is, like, this is your spoiler warning. We're going to talk about the end of Jurassic World for a couple seconds here, so give you a couple seconds.
It's not like there's any, like, big shockers in that movie.
I know, but people get so testy.
They can suck a dick.
Exactly. Ooh. Okay.
I'm going to suck a dick for $500 USD.
And you got to give your Xbox away. Wait, I thought Randy has to give
you $500. No, he's just giving me $500. I'm keeping the Xbox. I just want the money. Because then I got a free Xbox. It's like I won. It's like I was taller 100 or 500 in this case.
I don't need my dick sucked. I need an Xbox.
Oh. Well, I need 500 USD.
Anyway. 500 USD wouldn't even get you on the island, I guess. But it would
have a coupon day.
Have a coupon day. I was excited when, the whole time I'm like, are we going to see more of the T-Rex other than that tiny little portion of its head we saw on the log? And when the door opened and you saw her activate the flare, I'm like, oh my god, T-Rex time. I don't know how she outran it in heels, but I don't care. And the T-Rex,
god, she waited so fucking long for it to come out. There is no way that she would have outrun that T-Rex.
I know, that was stupid. That was
such bullshit.
Especially when in the first movie they're saying is being clocked at 30 or 40 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Come again.
We have a T-Rex. Mr. DNA. Oh, man.
She was like 5 feet away from it before she started running.
I'm like, you're not very smart, are you?
Speaking of Mr. DNA, I was really happy at the little cameo.
Yeah.
The hologram.
No.
Oh, having Mr. DNA back.
There was so much callbacks shit in there.
One of the things I appreciated the most is how it went back to the visitor center from the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw like all the remains of the bones on the ground and the banner that fell at the end of the first movie and the workshop where the Jeeps were. I haven't looked into it. I'm sure I probably could research it online, but I wanted to see if any of the numbers painted on the side of those Jeeps coincide with any of the ones used in the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure they did. Or maybe they didn't, because all the ones that were in use were destroyed by the T-Rex.
That's entirely possible. I was thinking like the ones that they initially drove up in when they first saw the brachiosaurus and shit.
They take that one to the helicopter. I was talking with a buddy about a better alternate ending of Jurassic Park is like they get in the Jeep to go back to the helicopter at the end of the original Jurassic Park, and the T-Rex is there waiting for him. Credit. Eats the kids.
Critical.
It's flying. The T-Rex is flying the helicopter.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Turns around.
Why didn't they demolish that building, though? Like, I don't understand why they left it to basically be like an Aztec ruin or whatever.
Well, it was
you
like
run past, so you know your future.
It's valuable real estate. Why they just leave all that shit there for 20 years?
Yeah, but they didn't need it, though. I mean, the Jurassic World part of the island was, I guess, like the whole south or whatever end of the island, and they didn't need it, so why spend the money tearing it down when you can just let nature take its course? And
well, I guess
they spared no expense.
Yeah,
spared no expense.
Yeah, well, I mean, my reviews on the psychedelics.com, well, what did you think about it, Justin? You've been a little reserved. I'm sensing a didn't like it as much vibe.
It's okay.
Just okay, like not as good as Jurassic Park 3.
No, I enjoyed it. I'll give it that. I really felt like it was Jaws 3. in all honesty.
I haven't seen Jaws 3. Well, it was 3D. In what way was it like Jaws 3?
The animal amusement park. Animal gets loose in it. People want to contain it and keep it, and other people want to kill it. And science is the bad guy.
You know? Science the bad guy in Jaws 3?
No.
Are we looking too much into Jaws 3?
No, science isn't the bad guy. But I mean, they want to keep it and contain it and learn from it and study it and get people killed in the process.
Fucking scientists, man. They run everything.
So there's that. I don't know. It's just one of those things where... I mean, I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. It's still a good movie. But I think that... I don't know where I would rank it. I'd probably do 1, 4, 3, 2.
That's fair. Yeah, I think it might have been. I went in with such low expectations. You know, the original Jurassic Park. If I had a gun to my head and had to list my 10 favorite films of all time, Jurassic Park is pretty high on that list. You know, I was the right age when it came out. It's an amazing film. It's the forefront. The forerunner to like the modern blockbuster as far as like computer graphics go. And I was dreading seeing this. One of the things I wasn't particularly keen on the film was the score, since John Williams only did they reused John Williams' main themes from the original Jurassic Park, but some of the other music seemed real out of place to me. I don't know if it registered with any of you guys.
Maybe a little bit, now that you mention it.
It didn't really bother me much, and I mean, when you heard the original themes played, you could definitely tell it had a different sound to it than the rest of the music, and some of it was just straight up ripped off from the first soundtrack is what it sounded like.
Right.
Especially towards the beginning of the movie. I couldn't tell you the exact scene, but I remember hearing a piece that, and it wasn't like the main Jurassic Park theme, it was just like... It was music that I associated with as being like part of the kids' theme from the first movie, really.
Right.
But I think that reprised in a big way.
Is it the theme when they go through the gate in the original Jurassic Park and this one when they first get to the island on the boat?
It's entirely possible, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Hmm. What grade would you give it, Randy? 8F.
Well, I enjoyed it quite a bit, but... I didn't fall over myself in love with it, so I'll give it an A-. And let me tell you my biggest criticism with it. And maybe it was just the... I don't know. Maybe it was just the 3D that I saw it in. Do you know offhand, before I launch into a rant, was it a post-conversion or was it shot in 3D?
It was post-converted.
Okay. Did you guys see it in 3D?
I did.
Or did you see it 2D? Okay.
I never watched 3D because I wear glasses, so...
Oh, I totally understand. Okay, so... Okay, all the helicopter shots when they're approaching the island at the beginning, the helicopter looks like a plastic toy. It looks like the toy helicopter we use in Nonstop to Comic-Con. It doesn't look real, you know? It just has, like, this really weird textural thing that just took me out of it by just looking like such bad CGI. And it wasn't bad CGI. I think it was 3D that made it look kind of bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. it kind of, like, the very first couple shots of the movie just threw me out of it. I got back into it really quickly, of course. But for some reason, I think just the 3D didn't help. At least not at the beginning. Maybe later on it did. But that was really my biggest criticism. Other than that, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Especially the hot dino-on-dino action at the end.
Yeah. What about you, Amanda? What say you? What grade did you give it?
C+, B-. I don't know. I can't quite decide.
Give us some cons. Randy gave us a bunch of pros.
I really like Justin. I really did not like the way they chose to portray the violence. Like, it just so many innocent people just getting attacked by dinosaurs. It's a lot more fun watching like a T-Rex, you know, eat a guy off of a toilet when like, you know, that guy kind of sucks or getting spit in the face with poison spit. But I mean, just like watching her assistant be played with by like those pterodactyl thingies and then just like her last moments were agonizingly long and terrifying. It was just hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
She did not go quickly.
No, I did not find that enjoyable at all. And then also, I kind of felt like every scene with people talking was either sexist, racist, or both. Deliberately saccharine to the point where I was just like, when are these people going to stop talking and I'm going to watch more dinosaurs?
And there were four writers on this film.
Oh, geez.
Four writers and two additional story credits.
Oh, God. Well,
I don't know what they did.
I'm going to say, I'm not sure what they were doing.
They drew on a napkin a picture of a T-Rex and says this. Yeah,
when they were quote-unquote writing this script. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if they didn't have Chris Pratt, who's a charming dude, this movie would have been just a joke of a film from a dialogue standpoint.
And well, that's probably true. Not even he could save it, really. I mean, as much as I like him, like, in 80% of what he said just, like, made me cringe.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, I gotta give the guy credit. He gave it 100%, but it was still just like, oh, stop talking.
Yeah, or anytime Vincent D'Onofrio was talking, it was
oh,
just...
Oh, God.
Yeah, is he mentally
horrible.
Disabled or something? Like, he always acts like such a weird, like, odd duck. I don't get it.
Did you ever watch the Netflix Daredevil series?
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished it, actually.
Okay, he fucking kills it in that.
He does.
That's it. Everything else, he plays like he's, like, mentally disabled.
And
I don't
watch Law and Order.
I don't get it.
He plays a guy with, like, he has, like, Asperger's in Law and Order.
Are you serious?
Well,
I don't know if he actually has that. It was out before Asperger's was the cool thing to have. Mm-hmm. And
they write it into the show that he's got a thing.
Yeah, he was very much like a house or a monk type character. That kind of, like, I know everything in the world and I have no social skills.
Right, he's just so twitchy and awkward. I don't know, it bugs me.
That explains a lot, actually. If that's just how he is, if that's just like, yeah, if that's just the roles he plays, then that explains a lot in Jurassic World. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Justin? We got an A-, we got a C+. Where you land?
I'd probably give it a C+ as well. But that's not bad. For a summer movie, you know, I had my popcorn, I had my soda, I was enjoying it. I just don't think... I don't know. I wasn't smiling the whole time. I was watching, but I wasn't smiling. Typically with Jurassic Park movies, I'm enjoying myself. And I wasn't this time around. That one kid, the little boy, he's looked the same for years. He's the same kid that's in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, Ty Simpkins.
He doesn't grow up. He's got the Dakota Fanning syndrome. The Webster's disease.
The Webster's disease.
Yeah, but and I like the kids. Normally, I don't like kid actors, but I enjoyed them.
Yeah,
I don't understand why they had to have that whole thing with the parents getting to God. Divorced. Like all of the plot lines were so stupid.
Yeah,
it's a Spielberg film. Every Spielberg film has like the undertones of like a family divided.
Wasn't the dad David Wallace from The Office?
Yeah.
They had enough conflict with the fact that their aunt was working too much to hang out with them.
Right.
Like, shoehorning in the divorce stuff was so stupid.
Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna,
you know, being stranded on an island with dinosaurs trying to kill you isn't enough of a bonding moment. You also have to have divorcing parents. Right.
I would think that because they're getting a divorce, they would go on one last family trip together as opposed to sending them away.
Yeah.
That seems weird.
Well,
and then if
I,
they were,
I got
and then,
the impression that maybe that's how they were.
Getting a divorce?
Writing away the part that for the fact that the parents weren't there because they send their kids off to go stay with the aunt so that they can like finalize the divorce stuff. Right. And so then when the kids come back, they're going to have the talk.
Pick a house. Who do you want to live with?
But you see, have this great weekend.
They're going to get back and dad's stuff's been moved out already.
Right,
but a shitty one-bedroom apartment.
But maybe it would have made more sense, and they would even stay together if they were just separated on the island, and they had to try and work together to find their kids.
Well, then the four writers and two extra storyboard people would have had to write for another two characters, and they couldn't even handle the ones that they did have.
Well, they would have had no problem. One had a penis, so obviously he was way better, and the other one was it didn't have a penis, and so she was just a useless character in their eyes.
Yeah, I guess in order for that to work, the parents would have to be Chris Pratt's character and the lady.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the way that would have to work. But obviously,
why didn't they just do that to begin with? That would have made such a better conflict.
I don't know, man. It made 500 billion trillion bazillion dollars. So clearly, they know what they're doing, and we're the assholes.
Like, they're already a family that basically lives on this island at this amusement park, and Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard are having like marital troubles,
right?
And the kids are, well, I mean, I guess it would have been hard to have like the one kid who's supposed to be the audience proxy, mm-hmm, who's like freaking out about the park, because if he lives there, then he probably wouldn't be freaking out about it,
right?
Still,
the wow fact.
Plus, having kids would also mess with Bryce Dallas Howard's character, you know. She would be a more roll with the punches type gal. Mm-hmm. She needed to be an uptight, everything in my life is neat and orderly.
She could be the batch that doesn't want to spend time with their kids, but then when
type A anal retentive people have kids too.
I just heard anal. I like that word.
If you have anal, you can't have kids that way. It's medical.
Yeah. It's true.
That's why he likes that word.
I know. That's a prerequisite.
Ugh, you guys are dumb.
Dumb. Dum-dums.
I'm not the one getting the abscesses. What do I care?
Ooh, ooh la la.
You know.
I don't know.
Well, I gave it a B.
Google it.
unlike Justin, I was smiling like the whole time. I think maybe it's because I had such low expectations. Hopefully that trend continues with Terminator Genesis, of which I can't have any lower expectations than what I already have. So if the movie's in focus and they don't murder my mother on screen, it'll probably be
it's going to have dragons, Dave.
No, Justin.
Terminator
dragons.
Yeah, that's the new, it's the next stage in evolution for Skynet.
It's no,
like the
sorry.
T-1000.
Sorry, yeah. Justin, there's no dragons.
I'm pretty sure I saw. Well, there ought to be. Yeah, let's just spend a half a second talking about last week's episode, because that was called A Dance with Dragons. And it was pretty fucked up. First of all,
it was really fucked up.
Hot mess.
Yes. I didn't.
It was so bad.
I didn't even want to rewatch it. I knew we were going to talk about it for a second, but my big takeaway was we got to see the gladiator fights, and we got to see a dragon up close and in action and fighting and breathing fire and rawr, and it looked cool. But I thought the second she got on the dragon, it looked horribly fake.
Terrible.
And she had this weird, like,
riding a unicorn wig. Look. Yeah, it looked
this
horrible.
This weird wig on that she clearly did not have before she got on the dragon.
She clearly had Terminator hair at that point.
Yeah, like they went back and reshot that scene months later.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a distinct, like she had like a weird beehive thing going on. It was really distracting.
Well, and it should have been like this great uplifting moment that we all cheered. We were waiting 5 seasons for this. It should have been this moment. But 20 minutes earlier, we burned a little girl at the stake, and it just ruined the rest of the episode for me. And it made me even more mad that would have,
so horrible.
I mean, as awful a thing as it was, had that been like the ending of like episode 5 or something like that, then it would have been so much more impactful. You know, we go to the credits and they don't put any music over like, you know, the cast and crew and stuff like that. And it would have been this very powerful thing. It would have spiced up one of the early episodes that most people consider were boring. It would have given, you know, more credence to that plot, and it wouldn't have taken away from the Daenerys riding on a dragon, which we all wanted to see, but I couldn't enjoy it because I was still sick to my stomach from what I watched, and that it completely made me wish the worst things would happen to Stannis, and it sort of happened, and we'll once get into this week's episodes, but I don't think he got nearly as bad as he should have got.
Yeah, no, it was horrible.
Who?
It was really, really bad. It was so upsetting.
Yes, terrible.
I mean, I know it was supposed to be upsetting, but God, it was so upsetting.
And for those of you that hate that whole part about her burning, keep in mind that if you decide to take on the wonderful task of reading those books, you don't have to deal with that shit.
George R. R. Martin said that.
Oh, but she's back at Dragonstone. Well, she's back at Dragonstone now.
No, she was at the. I thought she stayed at. Castle Black. Yeah. Oh. So she's just gonna get raped by a bunch of fucking murders and thieves.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway.
Go ahead.
It just really bothered me because, I mean, I know it's a really violent show, and you know this is what you get when you watch Game of Thrones, but at the same time, I don't really want my entertainment to make me feel horrible all the time. And that episode, the whole thing just made me feel awful. And it's ironic because there's some line with like, in the same episode, Tyrion like watching the fight in the fighting pits. Like he even says that like he gets enough of death in real life, like he doesn't want it in his leisure time. And it's like, you guys, did you even realize that you wrote this line?
Right.
Like, do you not? You're not even listening to yourselves.
Right. It's Tyrion is honestly like the voice of reason when it comes to that kind of thing. And it's one of those weird things where, I don't even know how to describe this, but one time I went to Medieval Times and I went to the Museum of Torture. I know it sounds terrible, but I went to the Museum of Torture and you just see all this horrible stuff that was done during like the Spanish Inquisition and during the Dark Times and the Dark Ages. And it was, you think to yourself, how could anybody be this horrible? And then fast forward like 15 minutes into my dinner and tournament show, and I'm like, burn him! And I'm yelling like, murder that fucker! Like I transformed, and it was nuts. And
that's a little different though, because you know that's not real.
I know that. But I'm just saying, like in the case for this week, when the whole crowd just goes crazy and they're yelling at Cersei during her Walk of Atonement, I could see how easily it could be for the crowd to get riled up and just turn into a crazy mob and just start throwing shit at her, yelling at her, and all that other stuff. But in the case of with Stannis and lighting the girl on fire, everyone in that camp was mortified, and they thought it was horrible. Even the crazy mom went batshit crazy, and she was like, stop it. To the point where, remember, even more than half of his troops leave. They're like, fuck this guy. I'm not going to fight for this guy. He's an asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder why no one tried to stop it. You know, that's a question to ask. If you were there, would you stick up for this little girl and try and stop it? Would you defy this would-be king and tell him to go fuck himself?
No, because he was executing people like the episode before for not listening, not being a good enough guard and stuff like that.
Supposed to be guards.
Yeah.
Air guards. Were you going to say something, Randy?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, if we flash forward to this week's episode, where there is only half the army left, all the sellswords have left with all the horses, and it is a sad, puny little little fighting force there, why do they even continue the attack? Because to me, it feels so incredibly anticlimactic when you see just that little column of men coming in and then be completely surrounded by the defending forces. It felt like such a quick anticlimactic battle.
Yeah, so much so that they didn't even show it, and it just cuts to the next scene where everyone's dead. You're like, oh, I guess they lost.
Yeah. So why have we been following Stannis for so much this season?
Right.
Because he's boring and he's dumb and nobody likes him. So you thought at least he was going to go to Winterfell and we were going to get some epic battle Blackwater thing. And you get nothing. You get to see half his troops leave him before they get to the battle. And then when we get to the battle, you see about a third of them run away when the Boltons come charging in. Mm-hmm. And then we just cut to, we see two of his men and him. Well, who knows if Stannis is dead, you know?
Yeah,
he didn't die on
camera. Yeah.
He didn't die on camera.
Yep.
Total waste of time.
That's true. So maybe he's still alive and they're going to be teasing something out next semester, next season.
Oh, I hope not. I hope Stannis is... Well, I want to see Stannis have to explain himself to Davos. That's the only plot thread I could see being interesting with Stannis.
Right. So then
him having to look him in the eye.
And then other weird takeaways was so Reek finally having some kind of quasi redemption by throwing crazy Kennel Girl off the top of the building. That was fun. But then they just jump into the snow.
That was so fucking stupid.
Right.
Didn't they do something like that in the books? Like not those two. Someone else in Winterfell.
It's his sister.
Yeah. Okay, that's right. They make some big thing about how like the drifts of snow are like 20 feet high and it's like jumping into a pillow or something stupid.
Yeah. But it doesn't look good for the sake of the show. Like she goes through all this shit and then she just jumps into a pile of snow and she gets away. Where's she gonna go? They're out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
He's got hunting dogs.
Yeah, that's not gonna work.
He likes hunting.
Yeah, we gotta Thelma and Louise this shit.
At first, I thought maybe somebody stopped Brienne, like, cause she screams when she swings her sword, and I was half asleep, and I thought that maybe it was Sansa that stopped her from swinging her sword or something, or she got attacked from behind or something. I had to watch it again because that was the first thing I thought of, was that somebody stopped her from swinging her sword. But then when I watched it again, it wasn't the case. Do you think she just hit her sword against the tree that he was leeled up against?
Yeah.
Because all she did was give Jaime shit calling him a Kingslayer for like 2.5 seasons, and now all of a sudden she's going to kill a king?
Mm-hmm.
Or does she not recognize him as a king? So maybe.
Yeah, I don't think she recognizes him as the king since he used like blood magic to kill his own brother.
Right. And she called
Kingslayer because he like was his honor guard.
Right. And she
he was in the king's guard. And...
Right. And she says Renly was the first in his name and the king of blah, blah, blah.
Andals.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, can't you tell? Do you not have calendars in Tarth?
Right.
I was born before Renly. Means I'm the king, idiot.
Yeah.
I know, right? Renly had zero claim.
I know. Like, even less so than Stannis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So then let's fast forward to Arya now. She finally kills a guy.
Oh, that was brutal.
That was brutal. It was good. I liked it. I didn't quite get the whole face, many face thing. When then she saw her own face, I wasn't quite understanding what was happening.
I think the point of that was for Arya to realize that she really doesn't know anything about the faceless men. And like when they say they're faceless, like they're not joking around. They literally have no identity.
Yeah, and she's still clinging on to the Arya Stark.
Right, and that's why they keep telling her she's not ready. Because she's clinging to her identity, and the faceless men have no identities.
And now her punishment is blindness.
Right.
Which, that's how book 4 ended, with her going blind.
Yeah.
And then she was able to get her vision back in book 5.
Spoilers.
It's not that
spoiler
bad.
Spoiler alert.
No, fuck that.
We know she's going to get her sight back.
Yeah.
Well, three of the four of us do.
No, guy. There's no way.
They're
guys.
Not going to leave a major character blind forever.
Yeah.
They'd never cripple a major character.
All right, so now that we're on that topic, let's talk about Jon Snow.
Yeah.
You guys had ruined this for me a few months ago.
Jon Snow lives.
You let something slip. I was like, God damn it, which I had conveniently forgotten about until the very moment he started getting the shit shivved out of him last night. So what are the chances of him coming back?
I think they're really, really good because Melisandre is there and she is one of the Red Priests. Mm-hmm. And if you'll recall from the second season,
yeah,
a Red Priest was always bringing that one guy back.
Yeah, they'll do it with a fire sword or the rainbow sword or whatever the hell he had.
No, it was the fire sword or whatever.
He was like the band of Bannerless Brothers or whatever the hell they're called. Yeah.
Band of Brothers.
Yeah. Brothers Without Banners, is that what they're called? Knights Without Banners.
Knights Without Banners. I don't know. Whatever.
Had they done anything with like Ghost in this season?
What the fuck was Ghost?
What I always thought was going to happen in the books after reading the books was that Jon Snow was going to like warg into Ghost and like he was going to be Ghost. That's how I always thought the book was going to go, but we never see because the book ends the same way the series ended with Jon Snow just bleeding to death. Mm-hmm. But bleeding to death is not dead.
Right.
But he got a note first from Ramsay Bolton saying, I have your sister. She's alive. Stannis is crippled and defeated. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Oh, and he's like, and I have Mance. He had Mance Raider, too. He had Mance.
He did?
Yeah, because Mance wasn't really dead. They killed Rattleshirt instead, or Bone Shirt, or Rattle's Face, or whatever the hell his name is.
But he went... How did he end up at Winterfell?
Because he was marching with Stannis. They were gonna do like some covert op shit, and they got captured. And Mance got captured.
Mance is a king, so he has king's blood.
Yeah, so that's why he was keeping them with him. And so Stannis gets crippled. By that I mean his army. And then Mance is captured. He has his sister, and he says, "Go fuck yourself, Mister Night's Watch." And then,
but none of it's true, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we don't know. And then John's like, oh, I got to get to Winterfell. This just hit the fan. And then they stop him and say, for the good of the watch, and stab him.
Yeah, they don't have like a little signpost that says traitor.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Killing a brother, not to mention the Lord Commander, seems pretty treacherous if you ask me.
Yeah.
Treason.
That's mutiny, son.
It's all premeditated. They had time to make a fucking sign.
Yeah.
Is that how you spelled traitor? Yeah. You sure there's an I in there?
That's pretty fucked up.
Just go get him. And they totally threw a curveball because at the beginning when it was like previously on Game of Thrones, they threw all that Benjen Stark shit at you. Mm-hmm. And like previously on Game of Thrones, Benjen, they had like four little scenes with Benjen. And so you're like, are they bringing him back? Or is he going to be Cold Hands? Are they going
to
make
him
one of
they had to remind us who the fuck he was.
Right. Yeah. And so when he said it, I'm like, oh, shit, maybe that's where they're going. He's going to go north of the wall again. And nope. Ended like we thought it would.
Yeah, that's terrible. And that's just too goddamn bad, I guess. And then, so now let's also talk about Miss... fucking Queen Cersei Lannister. She's a brave woman for doing this scene. This is intense.
Lena Headey is.
Yeah, she fucking crushed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hands down, that was amazing. It was a little crazy.
A little long.
She pulled it off. And it kept showing how far she was from the Red Keep too, you know? Like she was just out in open water, and that had to be terrifying seeing how far that walk was gonna be. And it reminded you every now and again when she would stop and look and see that she's still a million miles away. And that was just fucking brutal. And that's ultimately when you have to decide, do you feel bad for this person? And I remember as I was reading it, I felt really sad. And I was like, man, this fucking sucks. I've hated her for so long. But then after book four, when you get her chapters and you find out just how rough she's really had it. Maybe she's not so bad. She's just in a unique position. And then this happens. And you just... It's horrifying. You don't want anybody to get tortured like that.
I mean, yeah, from a basic human decency standpoint, you don't want to see somebody tortured like that. But she has been a downright C-word through a lot of this series. So I'm sitting there while she's got the bloody feet, trodden down the street, having human feces thrown at her, going, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Okay, that was my question. Now, were you turned in any way, and were you sympathetic for her character?
No, not in the least. The only reason is because in the book, there is some atonement. Like, she's not just confessing to get back to the Red Keep, because, you know, she's just going to go back to the Red Keep, and she's just going to have these sparrows executed. Right. Nothing's going to happen of it. In the book, you legitimately get a sense that she is having a crisis of conscience, and she thought what she was doing was right, and she's kind of seeing that maybe it's not. In the series, I don't get that impression. I don't think that she learned anything. When you see her face stony with resolve, all she's thinking is this bitch with the bell behind me's head is going to be on a spike outside my window in 2 days.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's learned anything. I don't think she's a better person because of it. And I don't think this redeems her in the least.
I think this is one of those, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Especially when you got a big old giant fuck of a guard waiting at, at the end of the line.
Mountain has come back.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, was that the mountain? And why is he all fucking purple?
Yeah,
he was dead.
Yeah. And how sweet of that was Qui-Burn when he said that he's glad to have her back and he wraps her up and he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's firmly in the Cersei corner.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I like
some dead giants so he can experiment on.
Yeah, he's her number one cheerleader when it's all said.
She keeps him elbow deep in the giants.
Yeah.
Oh.
She orders some new beakers and tubes and all kinds of crazy.
Yeah. Got test tube polish and everything.
Bunsen burners.
I see the mountain tearing the head sparrow, like, limb by, like, just tear him in half. Like, just grab each arm and just pull.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty rewarding. I don't like religious nut jobs. They bother me. This includes paladins, Dave.
What? Paladins aren't religious nut jobs.
Yeah, they are. They are holier than now, crazy folk.
Well, I haven't played a paladin for years. I haven't played a paladin for many years, so I got better.
Yeah. Well, a bunch of Bible thumping sons of bitches, if you ask me.
Yeah, but at least they back it up with like a sword.
Yeah. Even worse.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, having seen the last. Oh, sorry.
And then, what's her face?
Daenerys? Hanging out with a bunch of fucking Dothraki?
No. Oh. Fucking Jaime and...
Oh, yeah!
Oh, goddamn.
Marcella!
What a C-word, huh? That was terrible, poisoning her.
Awful.
That
was awful. But, you know it was coming, because, like, Game of Thrones can't have...
Yeah,
like,
can't have joy!
Can't have a heartwarming scene without something horrible happening.
Oh, right. Man, that was
that
so
was an
sweet.
Awkward kiss on the lips between the two of them anyway, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, this... I could see this becoming a redemptive arc for Cersei, because now she's lost two kids, and you could link the deaths of both her kids to her poor parenting and her struggle for power. I could see her becoming this like overprotective mom for Tommen, mm-hmm. and having Tommen push her away, so she's lost all three of her kids, and I could see that being something that would make Cersei a redemptive character.
Maybe, but I feel like she's just going to go even more batshit when she finds out that Marcella died.
That's like an open act of war, man.
So what about Jaime? Because he just kissed her. So does that mean he's got the shit in his system too?
No, I doubt it. I think it's... I don't think it works that way.
And it was so sweet, like she accepted that. Like,
yeah.
It was his dad, and I'm like, this has to be like a dream or something. Like, she was so accepting of it. And I'm like, wow, what a great scene. And then she started bleeding from the nose, and I'm like, oh, fuck you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can we be happy for like 2 seconds?
Those vipers are bad business.
Was anybody else chuckling a little bit when they saw the little blue antidote vial and quoting Temple of Doom?
Wait, what?
No. The antidote to the poison you just drank.
Yeah.
That's totally what it looked like when she downed that little blue vial.
A club Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah,
We don't want to glaze over what I'm sure was Justin's favorite line when the one Sand Snake whispers into Bronn's ear, like, "You like the good girl, but you need the bad pussy."
Oh yeah, that's Justin's favorite line.
Yeah, BP.
BP.
My wife does not watch the show with me, and she just happened to be walking from like the kitchen to like the office, and walked past
she's
the
like,
girl
"What are you watching?"
That scene. Like. She's like, what?
You've been lying to me this whole time
like,
while you've been watching the show.
I'm like, your timing could not have been better. You want to sit down and watch the rest?
Yep.
Yeah, that's not going to get her ass in the seat, I don't think. Well,
especially because 2 minutes later, we got that homeless dude waving his junk around.
There were a few of those.
Wait,
man,
what? I don't remember that part.
This episode.
When she's like, I'm a Lannister, why don't you suck
and
talk?
That's right. I forgot about that. There's more to it than that. It's not just a name. Idiot.
You're going to have like a golden hand, too.
Yeah. No, she doesn't like that. It's hideous.
That's right.
What about, let's talk about Daenerys and how...
Do we have to?
Just for a second.
Should we talk about how nice, how awesome Meereen is now she's not there, and it's Tyrion and Dohario, Nohario or whatever, and Jorah Mormont and Grey Worm and Missandei, like all of the cool people from Daenerys' posse are like in charge now. She's like, not there. It's great. Like,
so what do you want to do? You want to have a party or what?
I like to party.
So I think it would have been a little bit more effective if she would have rode down on her dragon to meet those Dothraki, as opposed to them just circling her like they're going to run a train on her or something.
Well, she can't control them.
And she ditched...
she can't control Drogo.
Yeah, right. She ditched Drogo's ring. So I guess she doesn't want them to know who she is.
No, that's where my mind went, but I watched the little clip with
afterwards?
Like the showrunners.
Yeah, DBY. Yeah.
And they are saying that that's her trying to leave a breadcrumb for whoever comes looking for her, which is such bullshit, because who's going to find a ring in the middle of a giant field?
Metal detectors, Amanda.
Just look for the fucking dragon. In theory, Drogon's 30 feet away, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he flew off. She just kind of wandered away from him.
Yeah, he's just over there sitting there licking his wounds. And I had a hard time figuring out what that was when he first arrived there, whether that was just his little nest where he's been eating stuff, that's where all those bones came from, or if that's some old ass
dragon
graveyard. Well, elephants have a graveyard, they just go when they go to die, it's just bones everywhere. Made me wonder if it was the dragon equivalent of that, but I think the skeletons were too small.
Yeah, I think it's his house.
It's his bachelor pad.
It's where he brings all the chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, this is going to happen. One way or another. Have you seen this show? It's not above this. So let's just get this. Let's get this over with. This will not be over quickly. This will not be pleasant.
You've seen how spiny my back is? Yep, my dick's worse.
Wait till you see my front.
Yeah. I'm glad you took the PC route. I went a little bit with that. And I regretted it after I said it.
So what do you guys think of this season? Overall, it seemed uneven, and it seemed to be the tone of the season seemed to be all over the place and a mess. And it really felt like the showrunners, without Martin's semi mapped out blueprint, it seemed like they were just disconjointed and didn't know where to go. What did you guys think? What did you think, Randy? Oh, Justin, sorry, you go first, Justin.
I thought it was horrible. I thought it was one of the worst seasons ever until we got to the part where they, on episodes maybe eight, when they went to Beyond the Wall and they had to fight with the walkers. Yeah. That was some crazy shit. I loved it.
But does that redeem the rest of the other 9.5 hours?
Absolutely not. I would say that it's one of the best episodes to date, and it was incredible, and I'll never forget it. And I really like this finale, but the other eight episodes I thought were a total snooze fest. In fact, I believe I actually fell asleep on four different occasions while watching the show. And it's not even on late, for crying out loud.
Right. Yeah, I would say Hard Home, the one with the Beyond the Wall, that's probably my favorite Game of Thrones episode. And yeah, I think this is my least favorite season. What do you think, Amanda?
I can't really think of it in terms of the other seasons. I don't really remember that well, but
you remember liking those ones.
But I do remember being a lot more excited about watching it from week to week in previous seasons. Yeah, I'm a little bit over it. I'm actually kind of glad the season's over. And I don't know.
Would you say it's the weakest of the five seasons?
Probably. Yeah, it's just it was just so bleak.
Right.
When shows start to get super bleak, I don't really want to watch them anymore. I stopped watching Battlestar Galactica because it was making me super depressed.
Oh my god.
That's why I stopped watching Walking Dead.
Oh, that's kind of good though. Battlestar, when they finally found Earth and then Dee fucking shoots herself in the face and then there's the mutiny. Oh my god. And then the fucking Ty's wife is the final Cylon? I was like, really? You guys are nuts. You're pushing my fucking buttons right now.
I stopped watching when the Chief's wife got
sucked out.
Yeah, sucked out the chick? Airlock. Yeah.
Woo, that was a good one. She's holding the baby. Callie or whatever was her name.
Yeah. She just killed Callie.
Man. Oh,
God. That was horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. Well, for Randy and or for Justin and Amanda who've read the books, now at the beginning of the season they made this big promise about like they were gonna mix things up. People that were alive are gonna be dead, people dead gonna be alive. Do you think that was all smoke and mirrors? Or and the people that they changed the fate of were stupid, like, you know, Miss Andy and or whatever fucking Lannister kid's name is.
Sir Barristan.
Yeah, or do you think Barristan
the Bold?
You think they did a good job of keeping us book readers on our toes?
I don't know. They didn't diverge that much.
Yeah, the finale was almost exactly how it is in the book, with the exception of
minus, you know, of the siege on Meereen.
I can't even think of what was really that different.
And just another king. There's a whole other king that's not in this.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that, like, nothing in the series didn't happen. Everything in the series happened in the book.
Oh, yes. There was missing components, but everything else pretty much happened. Correct.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yes.
There wasn't this big surprise to set up the future. You know, Arya is blind because she was blind in the book. Well, previously in the book, you know, Jon Snow dies. Daenerys gets surrounded by the Dothraki. I did like the scene between Varys and Tyrion. Where at the end, Tyrion's all like, I did miss you, my friend.
That was good. I liked that. I was like, aw. They're getting back together again.
Yeah. Like the dentist elf and Yukon Corneli.
Wow.
I mean, only really different things are that what's-his-face is really dead. God, what's his name?
Jon Snow.
The Wildling King.
Mance Rayder.
Mance Rayder. The only really different things are that Mance Rayder's actually dead.
Yeah, they fooled you into thinking that he died, but he really wasn't dead.
And then Barristan Selmy died, but he's not dead in the books.
Yeah, and he has a partner.
Oh, that's right!
Like pit fighter guy?
Forgot about that.
Cuts himself when he wins a fight.
Yeah, they were like some kind of comedy duo or something. Something weird.
Yeah.
That was a good thread they cut out. The whole Tyrion and the one other dwarf traveling is like a...
Oh, yeah. Thank God they didn't do that.
Because she was at her and her companion were at Joffrey's wedding when he died. So they were blamed. They were like part of the blame. I think he died. Her companion died and then she was sent off to be a slave or some shit.
Yeah. I'm glad they cut that.
Yeah.
Would have slowed things down so much.
Or introducing new characters into like a whole army that's on its way to Meereen to attack. Mm-hmm. That would be lame too. I don't like how we have not been exposed to the possibility of there being another person's right to claim the throne. I really like that story in A Dance of Dragons. And particularly because they got shit done really, really fast. And I felt like the story needed that. But for the case of this series, everyone is just kind of on their last leg at this point. And I feel like whoever can just get that one last advantage, they could take over all of the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, I mean, because their position, the Lannisters are dropping like flies, and the Baratheons are all dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now it's Margaery Tyrell and Tommen, last man and woman standing. But who knows where Margaery is, because they in the books it's clearly pointed out that Margaery gets out of custody and like is proven innocent, and it all falls back on Cersei. But in the series, I didn't really get that impression.
Mm-hmm. They didn't really have time to do that either.
No, they had time for like a 30-minute shame walk.
That was pretty long, but it was powerful.
It was good.
I think in the end it's going to be Daenerys flying over with the dragons, and when the White Walkers are attacking and the dragons are going to breathe fire over all of them, and she's going to kill them all, and then the Seven Kingdoms will accept her as their queen. Credits.
End credits.
Fit. That would be a very unsatisfactory conclusion.
I know.
Yeah, that seems too linear. It makes too much sense. They need to sucker punch us a few more times and pull the rug out from under us.
Right. Well, then they're like, well, no one should have that much power. And then they all fire their guns at at her and her dragons and kill them all.
All of a sudden, a sword appears in a pond, and a kid named Arthur grabs it, and he's declared the legal monarch of the Seven Kingdoms.
There you go.
Yeah, the dragons, as we've seen, are not infallible. If anything, that's what last week's episode taught us. So you can fuck up a dragon in a big way with a bunch of spears.
Yeah, they kind of made Drogon a puss.
Yeah.
Like in the novels, like he's like enormous and he like blocks out the sky, and if they threw spears at him, he would just laugh at him.
So I think
they had to make him smaller.
I think that part of the problem was if he were to just go batshit crazy and breathe fire everywhere, he could kill his mama. So if she were on top of him and there was no worry about hurting anybody else except just laying waste to the place, it would be a different story. But there were innocent lives that he didn't want to hurt.
Yeah, but that whole touching moment where she just kind of reaches out for his face, and meanwhile, all these assholes are still throwing spears at him. You know,
no, they stopped for that part.
Well, still.
No one took the opportunity to hit the openly exposed queen.
That they were trying to kill in the first place.
Yeah. No, let's give her a moment.
Yeah, let's give her a moment with her child here.
And in the book, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't all three dragons at it at that point?
No. So the other ones are in captivity, and then remember, the Prince of Dorne releases the other two after the fact.
Yeah.
He wants to dance.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot the Prince of Dorne.
Yeah, he's not in the
He's
not in the show. The Prince of Dorne, who's trying to win the hand of Daenerys so he could rule the Iron Kingdoms with her, and he wants to ride a dragon to say, "Hey, look it, I can do this too. Will you marry me?" It's like a grand gesture, but he gets fucking fried in his armor.
It goes poorly.
Yeah, and the dragon he does manage to keep the door open so the dragons can get loose, and but not before he gets burned to a crisp, and then Mr. Barristan the Bold has to deal with the aftermath. It's like fucking the T-Rex running through San Diego, and he's got to deal with it.
Okay, so that character was never adapted into the TV show at all?
Correct, and the one that saves the day dies. So, who gives a shit?
Who is Dr. Bashir playing? What's that character?
He is...
In the wheelchair.
Yeah, he's the leader of Dorne.
He's a Prince of Dorne, too, but he's like the leader.
Okay. Yeah, he's like the main dude in Dorne.
He's basically the king, but for some reason they don't have kings.
Okay, yeah. So I thought he was a prince or a king or something like that.
But... Yeah, so it's his son that goes to try and win the hand of Daenerys in Book 5, and fails miserably.
And then the Red Viper, the Oberyn, he was the Prince of Dorne as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's brothers to the guy in the wheelchair with the gout.
Gotcha.
Man, Dr. Bashir's come a long way.
Dude, yeah, that guy, he transforms in every role he's in.
He's got range.
Yeah. When I saw him in that fucking Syriana movie, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, where do I know asshole from?
I didn't even know he was Middle Eastern in DS9 until they had an episode when his parents showed up.
Yeah.
I was like, right, Bashir.
Makes sense. In space, you don't think about that stuff. Yet,
well, it's Star Trek. It's a post-racial society.
Right. But it's interesting.
They don't see race.
I know. And that's you can't say that, though, because here's the thing. I've been following so many arguments on Twitter lately
about what?
About diversity in science fiction and comic books in general. Mm-hmm. And the lack thereof. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, because I guess I'm just an asshole, but I'm thinking, man, there's all these crazy planets and different galaxies, and we're worried about just like human skin color when there's all these crazy aliens that we could be meeting.
That we should be hating on instead.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, I guess if there was a human element to it and there were an earthling type folk, then sure, you can have some fun diversity there. But if I'm dealing with a crazy sci-fi world, I want to see all the crazy Darth Maul looking motherfuckers and things of that nature. I want to see the crazy species that are out there. I don't want to see something that I see every day. I don't know. I guess I'm weird and naive, but I'm wrong, apparently. I haven't joined the argument yet. I'm scared. I'm a little nervous. I don't want to offend anybody.
Well, I don't understand what the argument is.
The argument is there is not enough diversity or people of color, people of various ethnic backgrounds in science fiction movies and comic books.
And you're saying, I don't even want to see fucking people. I want to
see aliens. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay. Well, I think you're making a different point than what they're making.
Not in this particular case, because it had to deal with Star Wars, and Heather Antos, who used to write for Geek Legacy, she was saying, well, they are aliens, so it's pretty diverse, and that just fucking stirred the pot. And I was like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but apparently that is 100% wrong, and I feel bad for thinking that way now, because what do I know?
Well, but no, I still think you're making a different point because aliens aren't real.
I get that. But that's what I like about them. I like how it's fake and that they can look like anything and they can have all these crazy abilities. And that's what I'm interested
in. I think the point that people are trying to make is just the whole representation of other races in entertainment and media in general.
Right. That is correct.
But I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with you, but that's not the point that they're trying to...
No,
they don't care about aliens.
I know, they don't at all. But I don't want any human... What I'm saying is I don't want humans in general in my science fiction. I want aliens.
So Avatar, you're like, yeah, blue people.
Sort of, but... Avatar is... It's weird because... That one, the white man is the bad guy. White man is the one coming in and calling them like tree people and and cutting down their tree and murdering everybody.
But they still have to be saved by a white man.
Yes, who's a wolf in sheep's clothing, though. It's done. Yeah, that is totally the white man's destroying the planet. That's the message in that movie. And unobtainium. I just like
saying, God, that's so fucking stupid.
So awesome.
I can't believe they're making three more movies.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Four now that he's got another idea.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he's going to make those forever.
Why doesn't he make a good movie?
Well, some would argue that, it's not a bad movie. I mean, some would argue that his filmography reads like a who's who of good movies. like True Lies and Terminator 2 and Aliens.
You are listing movies that are 30 years old.
Titanic.
Still pretty old. That's approaching 20 years.
Yeah, 18 years already. 18 years is December.
It's fucking nuts.
Now, do you think...
What?
Do you think we will see Aegon Targaryen? Do you think they'll bring Aegon Targaryen into the series at all?
Aegon?
Yeah, isn't that the other Targaryen in the book?
He's dead.
No.
No. That's the one that comes back in the book.
The baby?
What?
No, Aegon was the son. Aegon was the one that kidnapped Lysa. That was the Mad King's son, the one that married the Dornish princess. That's Aegon.
That was Rhaegar.
Oh, maybe it is Rhaegar Targaryen. You're right.
Egg!
Yeah.
Aegon is Daenerys' father.
No, it's the brother. Rhaegar's. Rhaegar's the Mad King.
No, Rhaegar wasn't the Mad King. Aegon was the Mad King.
Was he?
Yeah. Huh. Rhaegar was her brother.
Whose brother?
Daenerys.
That Viserys was his brother.
Wait,
what? Viserys was her brother.
No, Viserys was her brother, too.
I thought Aerys was the Mad King.
Oh,
yeah. That is correct.
Right.
Aegon,
I don't know who the fuck Aegon is.
I thought Aegon was the one No, Aegon was the one that... He was the one that unleashed craziness, I thought, in all of the Seven Kingdoms.
No, Aegon was the baby that the mountain supposedly killed. Oh.
Like he didn't kill him?
The mountain killed the Martell lady and the baby.
He didn't kill the baby. Oh, the baby got switched.
Yeah.
Yeah, the baby got switched. And remember in Dance of Dragons, she's the other Targaryen who actually gets shit done.
I don't know.
I don't remember that at all.
I thought Aegon was... I thought Aegon was an old Targaryen.
I don't know. All their names fucking sound the same.
Yeah, Aegon, because Aemon was the brother that didn't become king. He was the one that joined the Night's Watch. It was Aemon.
Right.
Yeah.
Aemon.
But Aegon.
It was his brother Aegon.
I don't remember Aegon.
I guess
at
that
all.
Can't be because then he'd be too old in the book. So it must be Aegon's kid.
Okay, no. So Aegon was the father of the Mad King.
Of Aerys.
Yes.
All right. And then.
Google this shit.
So look up.
Aegon is the son of Rhaegar. Aegon was the baby.
So there's just been Aegon the fifth was the grandfather, basically. Aegon the fifth was the father of the Mad King. So this new Aegon was just named after Rhaegar's grandfather.
Oh, so he would have been Aegon. Okay, I'm reading right now. He would have been Aegon the sixth.
Yes.
So Aegon the sixth.
So you are correct.
He is dead, though.
Well, but he's not in the book. He was presumed dead.
Yeah.
I don't know. This wiki is saying he is deceased when the events of the series begin and is not expected to appear in the series.
Yeah, because that's what we're saying. He's not in the series, but he's in the books because he's the one kicking ass in
book five. My question was if we thought they'd ever introduce him.
No.
Because he comes over to Westeros and he takes over like Storm's End and starts taking over castles.
Oh, I am looking at a Game of Thrones wiki. Never mind.
I think that it's too late to introduce that character because it's hard to buy into it in the first place in book five.
Right.
but you go along with it because you need something to root for at this point.
It'd be like Horcruxes all of a sudden becoming a thing with two books left.
Yes, that is correct. So there's that and that on top of that.
The books.
So, anyway.
I don't remember him doing nothing.
Yes, he makes it. He gets all those crazy sellswords to join him. He crosses the Narrow Sea, and he just takes over castles, and then he's on his way to King's Landing when Sir Kevin goes into his room just before the end of the book. And Varys pops up again.
Has an encounter with Varys.
Yes. And it's amazing.
Because what's his name? Tyrion's with Aegon, right? In the book. Tyrion and Jorah. He's not?
They are?
Tyrion and Jorah are together in book five.
But are they there with Aegon's group? For a while, right?
At the very beginning, Tyrion's with Aegon's group at the very beginning, but then he gets kidnapped by Jorah at that brothel house or whatever. And then they get separated from the group.
I'd say I should read it again, but I never will. Never!
Anyway.
Never!
Who cares? Sorry. We're done. Does anybody have any last minute shouts? Anyone going on any trips? Is anybody going to any film festivals or anything?
I'm glad you brought it up because David and I are going to be heading up to Sacramento this weekend for the Wizard World Sacramento Comic Con. Nonstop to Comic Con is going to be playing Saturday the 20th at 5 p.m. in room 202. David's right on the money there. David and I are going to be doing a Q&A right after the movie at 6:30 on stage. You can come throw Rotten Tomatoes at us or
we got feces. Our own Q&A.
Huh. It's funny you mentioned that because in the Walk of Shame, you got all these starving homeless people throwing fresh fruit.
Yeah, I made a comment to my wife about that too. I'm like, God damn it, all these people, they're starving and they're throwing fruit.
Yeah.
But come check it out. Come see us. Come watch the movie. You will not regret it if you're going to be up in the Northern California area.
Yeah.
Unless you hate laughing, then you'll regret it.
Yeah. But honestly, though, if you hate laughing, you're probably dead inside anyway. So there's not much we can do for you.
Yeah. You should probably drink that funny water at this many-faced god's place.
Yes. So people got Q's, you got A's. It's going to be amazing.
Exactly. Sacramento. Wizard World. Sacramento Comic Con.
Heck yeah.
5 p.m. Saturday. Check it out.
We'll be there. Will you?
Oh, you can Skype me in.
Sure, do it. Periscope you in.
And we'll Periscope it.
Okay. There you go. I was going to say I have a chair with a dummy and then like an iPad for the face, and then I could just be looking at everybody.
We can tie an iPad to the top of a broomstick or something like that. Now we're just sitting up there. So it's like right at head level.
There you go. I hope you guys win Best Amazing Most Awesome Movie Award.
It'd be nice.
That would be pretty damn cool. Because this one actually has a cash prize.
Oh,
nice. So that would be pretty cool.
Like what kind of cash prize?
Like $1 million.
I heard $500 earlier.
It's for Best Feature, it's $1,000.
What?
Yeah.
Dang. Then you put it all on black.
No way. That buys a lot of blowing prosties.
Oh.
It doesn't buy that much blowing prosties.
Well, we're used to LA prices. I'm assuming Sacramento prices are significantly less than LA prices for blowing prosties.
But you make a bigger Hollywood movie. I think you get the stuff for free now.
Down here, but you know, not up there.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't have any connections up there.
Oh, well, shit.
Amanda, you have connections
out
there?
No. Sacramento.
You're talking about this last week.
Yeah. Sacramento's edgy, bro.
Yeah.
It's the capital. Are you going to go see the governor? Is the governor going to hand you your award?
Probably. Jerry Brown will be right there. He'll be like, hey, thanks for your vote. And we'll be like, we didn't vote for you.
Yeah, you voted for that crazy lady.
Actually, it's funny. We're going up against a movie that is totally aimed to pull at people's heartstrings. It's a documentary about real heroes don't wear capes.
Oh, my God.
And David and I were sitting there watching the trailer for it going, oh, there's no way our movie's going to win against this.
Like, it's called, yeah, Real Heroes
this
Don't Wear Capes.
Manipulative cry
fest.
And
it's got, like, all these, like, old veterans, like, talking about, like, their friends that didn't make it back from the war.
And they have, like, dramatic reenactments of scenes from World War II and shit. And it's, like, it's got a lot of really nice production value. It looks like they put some money into the movie. And it's, like, here we are with our little super micro-budget feature that's really kind of funny, but I don't know if we're going to catch people in the right mood. You know,
that would
be
going
to depress them.
Just make sure that your screening is not, like, back-to-back.
Well, no, the great thing is that
they
one opens
open
the
and we
show.
Close.
That one opens the show on Friday, and we close it on Saturday. So it's far enough away that I don't think we have anything to worry about from that aspect.
Good.
But the way this one works is it's being 100% judged, not by the audience that's there, but actually by their panel of judges ahead of time. So they're going into the convention already knowing who wins. So we don't have to go campaign and try to get people to vote for us. The vote has already been cast. All we have to do is just kind of get people into the theaters just to watch it, just to, you know, enjoy the movie.
And we don't know the judges, so we can't, like...
Yeah, exactly. We can't
stalk them on Twitter and, like, hunt them down at the Jurassic World screening and stuff.
Yeah. Like we did for the last time.
Hey, where Chris Gore remembered us? It's my goal to make sure he knows us, since I don't know him, so...
Yay. There's a story in there.
Boobs.
But, yeah.
Boobs.
That's the whole story.
I like it. It's a good story.
Yeah. It's a short story.
Yeah. There you go. My dad boned his mom.
Yeah, it's a long story. And it's a short story. Dude, Artie Lang, what's he up to? He cleaned up his act, and now I guess it's not funny anymore or something. It's not even on Stern anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to that show in so long. I do not have the satellite radio.
Oh.
I got it for like 6 months when I got our new car, and that was about it. I'm like,
I can live without this.
Quick tip for those of you that ever have satellite radio and you want a cheaper price, just tell them you're canceling, and then they offer you it for half the price.
I like that. And it was cable.
I told them no, and then they even went down even further.
You're like, if I keep saying no, do you keep reducing the price?
Yeah.
There might be a point where I say yes.
Oh, man. It was
eventually
awesome.
They pay you.
Yeah.
That's how Justin works it with the prosties, too.
Yes.
To be fair.
Yes. Say, like, girl, you can't have this.
Tubuku.
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway.
She's
done. I'm tired.
Yeah, we are done. We didn't even do Randy's list. It was all about the top 10 most notable deaths in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's okay, though. The show ran really long as it is.
We'll do it next week when it becomes the number one film of all time.
Well, we need to rekindle the box office. People get bored of it.
Our list will single-handedly rekindle the box office.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, we're Randy are going to be multiple time award-winning filmmakers next week, so our heads are
maybe.
They're not even going to fit through the doors.
Wait,
here.
So are we going to be able to have a podcast on Monday? Or are you guys going to be in Sacramento?
Yeah, we'll be back.
We're leaving after the award ceremony on Sunday afternoon, so we'll be back.
Okay.
As scheduled on Monday. And hopefully, maybe, I don't want to get anybody's hopes up, but hopefully within the next week or so, we should find out if we got into the San Diego Comic-Con International Film Festival.
You don't even need those guys. You're winning.
Or not international, independent. No, I know, but it's a movie freaking about San Diego. It's CCI, Comic-Con International Independent Film Festival, CCIIFF.
Oh, I think I might have missed the first
one. There's a lot of letters in there.
Sounds made up.
That's when we find out if a movie's too dirty for Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's if we don't get in, it's 100% because of the fact that it's not considered family-friendly enough. Not to mention all the Comic-Cons across the country that have already either screened our movie or agreed to screen our movie. We may be a little bit too racy for San Diego. We'll see.
Sell out whores.
It's all about the naughty stuff with you two.
Do a clean cut, and then you can release a DVD.
We cut three minutes too much. Yeah, we cut 3 minutes out of the movie. We cut like all the language. They don't even say shit. Cut out all the shits, all the bitches. We never drop any F bombs. We kept it.
It's already a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, I mean it's not bad. It's not like naughty at all. Really, it's just there's some subject matter that. You know, it's a little bit more like basic cable rather than network TV. That's kind of our we're more like Breaking Bad. We're not so much like The Flash.
We are just like Breaking Bad.
Very good. Get that guy on the phone right now.
Yeah. So anyway, so hopefully we'll have some good news for you, or if we don't, that's okay too. At least we'll have hopefully some news.
Yeah. Who gives a shit? You already won an award anyway. Whose house is it at?
It's at my office right now at work. We had our cast and crew screening over the weekend, and we had it there with a couple of full-size posters that we were having everybody sign, and we had everybody taking pictures with the award that we won.
Oh.
Just so we could spread the love around, because that way it makes them feel like, you know, that they won it as well, which of course they did, because it's a team effort.
Right.
No one person won the award. It was a group effort, so we wanted everybody to take pictures with it.
But mostly you guys.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been engraved yet. Once you engrave a name in it, then it's like that person.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing too, because of that particular festival, they didn't they pretty much voted on it there, so it doesn't have our name on it.
The space though. We can engrave it though.
Yeah, we could theoretically engrave it.
I can engrave it.
I know, you are like a certified engraver.
Yeah, I got papers.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Value papers.
Yeah. Like a mason.
Did you get that stuff for free?
What stuff?
Like when you worked...
My papers?
No, at that engraving place. What was it called?
Things Remembered?
Yeah, Things Remembered.
I didn't...
Because everybody got one of those things when you worked
man.
There.
It was easy. No, I got... I just had to pay for the stuff, and it was like... they always had like a friends and family thing, and it would be like half off, yeah. And it's already cheap shit. Made in China, yo. You think some 5-year-old Chinese kid knows how to make a glass clock? It's a lot of work.
Two times a day.
Yeah. It's terrible.
I still have mine.
What did you get?
You gave me a heart-shaped jewelry box.
Oh, there you go. And it still looks good, or did it turn into, like, brown and gross?
No, I think it looks fine. It's just in a drawer.
Oh, man. Yeah, everybody got some fun stuff at Things Remembered. It was easy. I was like, I can do this shit all night. I engraved it all before I went that day. I remember I was up, because, you know, malls are open all late and shit, and I got off. The mall itself closed at, like, midnight, and then... I would be up all night engraving stuff because it was just an endless fucking sea of merchandise that people had to have engraved. And then I finished like around 4:30 in the morning, and then we headed up to Merced from Orange County.
I remember bringing you like Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
At like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, I'd always bring like my, at the time, I'd bring my PS2 and watch movies while I was engraving.
That's cool.
I was a fast fucker, man. I swear to God, I was the fastest engraver there. And I would just mow through like 8 laundry baskets full of just Zippos and frames and clocks and what have yous. Just plow through it. Good times.
Sounds pretty cool.
Christmas retail Christmas time. Always a blast.
Pass.
Yeah. What can you do?
I mean, it could have been a lot worse, though.
Yeah, it could always be worse. Always. Don't kid yourself. No matter how bad you have it, I guarantee you somebody has it worse.
Anyway, time to sign off.
Yeah, let's do that. Yes. We've talked about diversity.
I really need to go to sleep.
No, we talked about diversity. We've talked about video games. We talked about kings and queens and guillotines. It's awesome.
Aegons and Rhaegars and
dragons. Yeah.
Rhinos.
Bears. Rhinos.
God.
Anyway, thank you for listening to... Oh, no, you can't. We're not done yet because you got to say bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Amanda, David, and Randy, always a pleasure to chat with you each and every week, except for last week since we suck. But either way, going forward, every week, good luck at your Sacramento thing. What was it? The Sacramento...
Wizard World Sacramento Comic Con.
There you go. Wizard World Sacramento Comic Con. And visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. While you're there, be sure to check out the other podcasts. Of course, there's the Comic Corner podcast hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on the pull list. And then you also have the Pixelated podcast, where we talk about the video games, like Lana Del Rey. And it's a lot of fun. Steven is at E3, so remember to check out Geek Legacy for all kinds of crazy E3 moments and things. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, at Comic Corner, and at Pixelated Pod. And you stay fabulous. Thank you.